Hello, everybody. This is Joe Edwin, and I welcome you to this episode of Mystery Magnet. Now, I know that I am not following my typical format. I know usually I'll have an intro and we'll have our This Week in Mystery History and we'll go over what our topic's going to be. But considering, you know, everything that's been going on, and I know that I have not been on in a few weeks, just wanted to talk about the history of pandemics, and we'll kind of discuss a little bit about the COVID-19 coronavirus. And I just want to give my 2 cents, I guess maybe just the opportunity to vent a little bit on just what's going on in the world, what's going on in our country, and just how we as a society, we as a culture in this country and around the world, how we're all handling this differently. Because we are, I believe, all handling this differently. And there's some pretty significant reasons behind that, as far as I'm concerned. So COVID-19 is one of those things that it's a pandemic that has wreaked havoc to this point. But it really, it's paling in comparison to what other pandemics have done throughout history. And that is, that's something that a lot of people are hanging their hat on, I think, as far as throughout the recent history of our country. And us being the ever so arrogant society of the United States of America and believing that, you know, we're too big to fail and nothing can hurt us and we should go back to business as usual and things of this nature. In my mind, I believe that, you know, some factions of this country believe that, you know, this is beneath us, that this is something that happens elsewhere and it doesn't affect us. Even though, as we know now, a few weeks into this pandemic, it's at our shores and it's deep into our land, and it's currently presiding within a huge population of our country. Now, some want to believe that this quarantine and all the steps that we're taking is going to prevent us from getting it. And I don't believe that to be true. Now, I do believe that the quarantine is necessary, and I do believe that we should take necessary steps to slow this down. But also, the one thing that I've been preaching since since this all started is that the information that we know to be true, that this started in China, and that this slowly spread throughout Europe and quickly made its way over here within a few months, is just the information that we are being given. Now, we all know the Chinese government is so forthcoming. They are so honest and so willing to not really, you know, to always just to shed truth and honesty throughout, you know, throughout the world. And, you know, that's obviously I'm being sarcastic, but we know that that country, we know that they are known, that government is known for suppressing information, for not wanting them to be seen in a negative light. So where does that leave us right now? That leaves us with a limited amount of information. We do know that they suffered a considerable amount of deaths. According to them, I believe it was maybe in the 30,000s. And that is what they are reporting. Now, we know that it's been going on for a considerable amount of time. We believe it's a couple months. That's what we believe because that's what we've been told. So that's what's being passed on to the American people and other countries throughout the world. Yet we don't know that. We know nothing of that. We just know what we hear. And sorry to tell everybody, but this virus has been in our country for way longer than we think. It's been And we have been operating as normal for those months that this virus was running rampant. So in order for us to really get this under control, we need to, I don't know what we need to do. I mean, we're quarantining, we're trying to do everything we can in the moment. But what is starkly evident here, what is just so disturbing to me, is that even in the midst of one of the biggest threats that we've seen, or, you know, or maybe it's not one of the biggest threats, because that's one of the biggest things that I hear around, is that, you know, you hear it's just a flu and it's, you know, it's not as bad as all the other flus and all the other viruses that we've had. And it is one of those things that is misleading, because even though like MERS and influenza and Ebola, those are less likely to pass on. Those are less, like by the numbers, you know, like MERS is less than one person. Well, one person will affect less than one person. Influenza, you know, one person will affect 1.5. And Ebola, one person will affect 2. But COVID-19, one person will affect 2.5 on average. And then you go to SARS and mumps and Ebola and smallpox and measles. Those are all more highly contagious. But also, we have to understand the era in which that, you know, smallpox and mumps and small, you know, and measles and all those things that we know, the time where they were flourishing and they were so dangerous in the world was a little bit different than how we live now. So I think we have a little more of the ability to get it under control. Even though all these diseases run rampant throughout the world, we still don't have a complete grasp on all of them. And that's why we really just need to understand that, you know, this is not something that's just going to go away. It's going to be a simple fix. So no, this is not just the flu. And yes, hundreds of thousands of people die of the flu every year. And if I hear that one more time, I'm going to throw up. If I hear the ignorant statements of how many people die of all these different things and how this thing doesn't matter, I'm going to scream, because I am a very calm, pretty patient guy. And I could typically listen to a lot of ignorant talk and a lot of just, you know, stupidity. But in this time right now, where we have something that's threatening us, you know, some people that dance in a certain political realm and or follow certain political people and or follow a certain team or a certain base, I'm understanding why. I mean, I think it's a coping mechanism, I guess. It's a way to deal with it. It's a way to maybe act tough. I mean, I guess it's maybe a way to say that, you know, we're Americans and we're better than this, and, you know, this can't hurt us. But the dumb shit that comes out of people's mouths when they're basically saying that because other pandemics and or viruses are causing massive deaths throughout the world, that means that we don't need to bother with this one. Now, this is, you know, double the amount of how infectious it is based on influenza. So by the numbers, it's twice as infectious. So that means you can catch it twice, you know, you can infect twice as many people. And yes, the ignorant people will say, oh, hundreds of thousands of people die from this. Now, mind you, that this pandemic, this virus, we don't know how long it's been out. We don't know how long it's been untamed. We don't know how long it's been in this country. Yet we're going to rest our argument on hundreds of thousands of people die in the world of influenza, and only a handful of people have died from COVID. Okay, so we're starting out this year in the first few months, and we are just now testing people on a on a big scale. And the misnomer, you know, the misunderstanding is that a lot of people are believing that these numbers that are coming out are even close to being accurate. We're not even scratching the surface, people. And this is the problem. This is the problem where people are going to create false narratives and ignorant speak like this just to be able to deal with what's going on. We could double with influenza. We can double the deaths. We could have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of deaths. We could reach the millions. We will reach the millions and who are affected. That's a promise. That is a guarantee. There are a vast majority of the people in this country that are very much susceptible and or could have it at this moment. Yet we want to march around. Everybody wants to, you know, socialize and do all these different things and not understand that this situation right here could bring down a society. It could fundamentally change how we operate in this country or how we operate around the world. And we can't just set the precedence of, well, pandemics have happened before. They've come and gone. Oh, SARS happened before it went. Oh, we had MERS and it came and went. And it was no big deal. That's our arrogance. That's our ignorance. That's our limited information. We want to do the least amount of information. We want to get our stuff from the dumb box. We want to listen to somebody from a news feed or some political figure that's going to feed us what they want us to hear, and we're going to follow what they say, and then we're going to base our ignorant comments on a very little snippet of information. Now, I'm railing a little bit, I understand. I'm on a little bit of a rant, and it's not typical for me. I am a positive. I am an optimistic person. I want to believe that we can get through most things. But I also am a realist. I also see things for what they are. I don't paint the picture of my idols that I genuflect to. I paint the picture based on information that I see, that I seek out. I listen to multiple, do the people out there hear that? Multiple people, multiple opinions, multiple facts, and I draw a conclusion. Do you hear, you know what drawing means? It means you're drawing something, like you're actually putting something together. You're trying to make a picture of what's going on. You're not hearing a news snippet and thinking it's funny, and then you turn it out and you use that as your platform to stand on to say how we're going to get through this and how this is nothing. And I always think it, but I don't ever want to say it to anybody. So I'll say it here, which is kind of silly because I'm saying it on a podcast, but it's going to take someone very close to you to die from this for you to really understand it. And I'm never going to stand in front of somebody that's lost a loved one or is going to be faced with losing their own life and say, I told you so. So I don't ever want to promote that. I don't ever want to have anybody say, you know, come back and thumb your nose at somebody that has opposed you in the past when they're in their most vulnerable and sufferable time. But what I do want to say is that take this seriously. You know, don't be ignorant. Don't believe the false narrative and the moronic stuff that happens on these press conferences on TV where people are trying to say all this garbage months ago and saying all this stuff about how this is a hoax and this was stupid and this was politically motivated and this didn't have anything to do with there being a pandemic in this country and it was just all fear. And here we are. And they're trying to erase all those comments and all those things that they said because they know they were wrong. And they're going to continue to be wrong. And what they're going to do is they're going to continue to accept the death of the people in this country and around the world. And the president of this country is going to say simply this, and I promise you, and he's already said it this weekend, If we only lose 100-something thousand people, that's a good job by me. That's a good job. He's done a good job. Only a couple hundred people. 100,000 people, 200,000 people die. I did a good job. That's good. Yeah, that's good. So when your family member dies, when you die, when something happens to where you contract this disease and it causes irreversible damage to your body, so you look to the leaders of this country and you go to them and you say, wow, good job, guys. You did a great job. You did awesome. You didn't listen to information that was put out and you sat on it for months and months and you ignored it as you typically do ignore scientific, factual information that intelligent people are trying to feed you. And then in turn, you come out months after the information was given to you and you still say it's not true and you still say it's a lie. You still say it's a hoax. And then after a couple months when people are really dying and we're all suffering and we're having to shut the country down, now where are we? Now we're to a point where you have to admit that you did it. But no, you can't do that. You can't admit that you did that. So now we're trying to erase information. We're trying to go backwards. We're trying to say we didn't say that, just like every bullshit lie you ever said. And then we're going to come forward and go, oh, yeah, we're the leaders of this. We're doing awesome. Look at how great our task force is. Look at how awesome we're doing. Look, oh, but wait. How's the polls? And how are my fans doing out there? And I want to make sure that everybody knows that I'm a good guy and that I'm doing great and everything's fantastic. So we all know who I'm talking about. We all know what the narrative is. And it's not me painting any other picture. I don't have a political side. I don't have a side that says I have to follow a certain order of this. I have a side that says I listen to ignorance. I listen to stupidity. I listen to someone that can't even put a sentence together. And that's the person we're choosing to lead us through this most trying time in this country and or this world. People, we've never shut this country down as long as it's existed before we eradicated the people that actually lived here. And oh, by the way, we were the ones that brought the Spanish flu. We were the ones that eradicated them from disease. And now we're facing a similar fate if we don't get our heads out of our ass. So where does that leave us? That leaves us to have to rethink what we're going to do, how we're going to operate, how we're going to accept our lack of leadership in this moment, and moving forward, how we could potentially restructure this country and the way we do things. Because we so heavily base our information upon what's fed to us. And we can't just be person to person, man or woman to man or woman, and speak truth and really try to understand things. So until a lot of that's taken away from us, until that is something that, you know, we're not used to having on a regular basis, we take it for granted. We take it for granted that we click the, you know, light switch and a light comes on. We take it for granted that we can carry an information box in the palm of our hands and we could have anything we want or know anything we want or listen to anything or watch anything we want. We have it easy. We have it the easiest we've ever had it in the history of this country and this world. And you know what? We take advantage of it. We do. I believe that we take advantage of it so much that if something like this comes about and it limits our opportunity to ever do things the same way we've ever done again, then that's an opportunity. That's the way I look at it. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to step back, take a good broad look at ourselves and really understand the focus of what this is all about. It's about us not having petty differences and not going on a political bullshit rant and trying to pit one another against one another. What it's about is us trying to solve something that can potentially be the demise of a vast amount of people. These are not numbers. People see numbers now. All they see is numbers. Hospitals are overflowing. Medical equipment, which our moron president is squabbling over is deficient. We are not getting the things necessary to the people that need them right now. And the reason of that is because we are not equipped. We are not ready. Bill Gates put on a TED Talk 2 years ago that basically outlined this and said, we as a country are not ready for a pandemic. And he was absolutely right. He's actually an intelligent guy. He actually reads on a daily basis. He consumes so many books and so much information. And the reason he does that is not to satisfy anything that he thinks. He's adding to what he knows. And I know that's a novel concept. How about we add to what we know, not want to just paint a false narrative and support what we think? Wow, that's a great idea. Bill Gates was right. He said it to everybody. And guess what? Deaf ears. Falls on deaf ears because it's not convenient. It's inconvenient for us to have to listen to something and take it upon ourselves to try to think about how do we restructure things and how do we make it better? How do we get to a better place? We don't do that. No, we just think about how do we make our lives more convenient? How do we make things easier? In essence, how do we make this microwave world a little easier? The microwave's not fast enough now. We need an air fryer or something quicker or something that's going to get it faster for us. Microwave's not good enough anymore. So we've kind of reached our limit in that regard. So, wow, that was a pretty good rant. That was like a 20-minute rant of me just kind of getting it out. And I feel better. I feel better. Not just because I said the things that I thought. I just feel better because I want things to change. This computer that I'm recording this on, the cell phone that I have sitting next to me, and all the BS that we associate our lives with, if that goes away, I'd be okay. I'd be good with it. I think all this information, because it's kind of silly to me, because you think about it, we have all this information at our fingertips. You could have somebody that spends their entire life, like people dedicate their lives to something. They literally lock themselves in rooms. They go to school for years upon years upon years. They travel distances all around the world, put themselves in very compromising situations, isolate themselves from probably their family, their friends, or whatever they do because they feel so connected and they feel so passionate about certain things. I know Bill Gates was kind of one of those guys where he, you know, had that drive and that passion to want to know things. So these are the people that put out the information. So these are the people that actually find the answers to the things that we need to know. There's people that know pandemics are going to happen. There's people that know there's preventative measures. There's people that know about how we prepare. And there's people that come out and they say these things. And they're saying, they're not saying, because you know what? Yeah, because Bill Gates needs more money. I forgot about that. Yeah, Bill Gates is not a guy that has enough money. So he must be lying. So it must be like a narrative. So it must be like a political thing. He must have been out there trying to figure out a way to make himself more money. And he must have been trying to get some kind of political edge for somebody, right? Yeah, that makes good sense. So Bill Gates puts this information out on the internet, just like any other scientist or any intelligent person that spends their life trying to basically, you know, give us answers. They're sacrificing themselves to give us answers. And you know what? When they give us the answers, you know what we say? You know what we say? It's motivated by something else. It's not true. It's motivated by something else. It's not, that can't be true. No, I know. Yeah, I know. I know you spent like your whole life, you know, dedicating yourself to find this information, but you got to be doing that for money because you're writing a book, right? That's the only reason you're doing that. So what's your political agenda or what side do you work for? Or what side do you, you know, no, you can't say you don't, you have to have a side. because we all got to be on a team, right? Because if you're saying the thing that's opposite of what I think, then you must be for the other guys, right? So you must be their puppet, and you must be out like, you know, they must have paid you 30, 40 years ago before they were even born or before they were even thinking about getting into politics. They may have paid you way back then to get into this field, right? And then to come to today. So that's the conspiracy that you guys are put together. So it's a huge conspiracy against people that actually dedicate their lives to finding answers to certain things, and then when called upon, be called a liar and be called opportunistic and be called a political, having a political agenda. So that's how people think. Yet, so we have all this information at our fingertips that we so much enjoy, that we so much want, we so much need, and then we ignore it because it doesn't fit the narrative of the pompous asshole that we listen to or whatever side you're on. Because I don't really care, because both sides do it. Point to be taken is that why do we have this information? What are we going to do with it? Why do we just not have it? Why don't we just all hunker down in tribes and just kind of everybody just go live with whoever they agree with and then just be done with it? Because, you know, we're being given a steady stream of actual valuable information. Now, I'm not talking about the news feeds that pop up, that the propaganda that comes up on the news feeds all the time that wants to be clickbait to get you to, you know, to pay their bills. I'm not talking about that information. I'm talking about actually looking for information that is backed up with facts. It's backed up with research. It's backed up with some tangible evidence that could potentially lead to answers. And it doesn't mean that everybody that researches something is right. It doesn't mean that because a lot of times they're going to have they're going to have something that they're chasing. You know, they're going to have an idea. They're going to have a beginning and an end, and they're going to chase that end sometimes. And I get that, and that does happen. But there are a lot of individuals that will bring information forward that don't just need to, you know, publish a book. And really, what's your best source of information? I think so. That's my opinion. That's your source of information. Someone that knows nothing about something, yet they go, but, you know, that's not what I think. I think because I watched a YouTube video of this conspiracy that has to be true, right? That makes much more sense. So let's go with a vast majority of a group of people, of say a huge amount of scientists that all agree with one thing, but let's go with a conspiracy theorist individual that puts out a video, and we're going to just completely dismiss something. And that's the way we think, and it gets frustrating. Once again, 28 minutes, man. I am on the rant of the week here. I'm diving deep on this one because it's frustrating and I'm kind of just getting it all out. I haven't been on in a few weeks. You know, typically I put out a positive message and I'm doing a mystery. And don't get me started on the mystery aspect, because, you know, and that's kind of the direction I was thinking about going. You know, this is going to create so many false narratives when it comes to conspiracies. Now, we all know that this started, or we think it started in China. All of us have already heard that there's some laboratory in China that creates viruses that of course they created and then they unleashed on their own people. And then, you know, not to say that the Chinese government, it's not beyond them to sacrifice their own people to spread a virus. I don't think that's impossible. But it also doesn't mean that it's probable. It just means that those are just things that we know to be true. So the level of craziness that's going to come out of this is just going to be preposterous. It's going to be so insane. Because once again, there are so many videos and things on the internet that are going to lead people down rabbit holes that are just going to be disgusting and are going to be so strange that, and the reason that it is because there's no information to back it up typically. It's just someone, you know, somebody being a fiction writer, and fiction writers are amazing. I love fiction writers, but you know, you can't pretend that the fiction writers are telling your story. That's not the way it works. So you really got to be careful where you get your news from, where you get your information from. So where does that leave us? You know, we have a history of pandemics, and you know, I've kind of gone on this big rant, and I apologize, but you know, to get back to the pandemic itself, you know, there's been so much carnage throughout the earth through history. You know, back in the beginning of time, as far as back as we knew pandemics existed, these plagues were devastating. When it came to smallpox, you know, the Black Death, we're talking millions. Japanese smallpox, the epidemic killed like 1 million people. But when it came to that, it just paled in comparison, you know, hundreds of years later, when it went into the Black Death, which is a bacteria that was carried through rats and fleas. So actually it was the fleas on the rats that were being carted around, and us having, you know, condensed communities, especially, I mean, kind of like how we do now. That's why like New York's being hit so hard with something like this. It's such a densely populated area. When Black Death first started, I mean, it was the virus itself, the bacteria itself, started in like the 500s, the middle of the 500s. And then less than 1,000 years later, Black Death reemerges. Now, the first time it killed like 30 to 50 million people. And that is just an enormous amount of people. But then almost a thousand years later, it kills 200 million people. So there are some pandemics that have just been just mind-boggling, just so devastating to our world that it's happened. It's been in our history. It's something that we don't keep in the forefront of our mind because, you know, we have the medical advancements and all the things in the world that we think are going to protect us. But mutations of viruses are dangerous because we don't understand them. And this particular coronavirus is one that we don't understand yet. We know what it is. We know it's a coronavirus. It is a novel virus. But what we don't know is how we're going to cure it or how we're going to come up with the medication to combat it. And it's going to just take time. And realistically, we're saying a year, year and a half, maybe 2 years before they can come up with the vaccine. So you go back into history and all they really could do was quarantine. All they could do was figure out ways to minimize it, which is what we're kind of doing right now on a small level. But we're so anxious. We're so anxious to just go, well, let's just do it for a couple of weeks and then we can be done. That was kind of the initial. That's just the things that I hear people saying all the time. Well, that's okay. We'll be out in a couple of weeks. And I just keep thinking, man, what do you mean we'll be out in a couple of weeks? Like, this is just starting. This is not. See, it's the idea that people can't wrap their heads around work being shut down for months and months and months. Devastating our economy, you know, leveling stocks and leveling our infrastructure as we know it. I mean, just it's going to be devastating. But people don't want to admit that this is the United States of America. We can't do that. That can't happen to us. It's happening and it's going to happen. We're not going to bounce back from this like nothing. So history speaks to us. And, you know, it's been, as long as I've been alive, I've heard it so many times throughout my life. You know, if you don't pay attention to history, you're doomed to repeat it. And as we've gone throughout history, we've had so many different situations with the Russian flu and the Italian plague and the Asian flu and the Hong Kong flu, and even with HIV and the swine flu and SARS and Ebola and all the things. And you're talking millions in a clip, 12 million, 150,000, 1 million, 40 to 50 million. You know, there's millions and millions and millions of people that are dying throughout history from these things that I would venture to guess that they took pretty seriously in the time. They probably didn't have enough information available to them. Yeah, I think if they had cell phones at their hands and a bunch of people were telling them, hey, this is going to kill you guys, you think they would have paid attention? Probably. Because they weren't as ignorant and arrogant as we are. And we need to be careful with that. We have information, yet we choose to ignore it. We have this history, yet we choose to think that we're too big to fail. We think that we're bigger than this. We think that this can't happen to us. This can't take us down. And once again, we say ignorant things like H1N1 and SARS and Ebola and MERS. Swine flu killed 200,000 people. SARS killed 770 people. So SARS, which is a coronavirus, which came from bats as well, passed on from bats to civets, that was what got the disease out in the open. And for whatever reason, it was under control quickly. And it caused very limited devastation. Ebola was 11,000 people. We're scratching the surface of Ebola. Like I said, our president's already saying, if 100,000 people die, I guess that's six. Well, I did a good job. And Ebola, the thing that people are using as a kind of as a just a joke or a punchline, you know, we're gonna hop, skip, and jump over that pretty quick. MERS, 850 people died from MERS. And people are actually saying, well, you know, coronavirus isn't a big deal. We got 100,000 people die every year from the flu and MERS and SARS and swine flu. Yeah, we're going to step right over that quickly. And then what are they going to say? You know what they're going to say? Nothing. They're going to forget they said it. They're not going to admit they said it. And they're going to go hide and listen to some more false information and come up with another excuse. Because COVID-19, as of today, has already killed 35,000 people. So we over tripled Ebola. And don't even talk about SARS and MERS. That's not even on the radar. So when we get in the hundreds of thousands of people that die from this disease, so we're already close to a million of people that are just tested. And the nonsense of that word is that, or that phrase is that people are being tested on such a limited basis. There are millions of people that have this disease right now, this virus. Millions of people are carrying this virus right now. Millions. And you're telling me that it's not as bad as the flu. The flu's not. It's just like the flu. It's not big. Yeah, it's the flu. It's no big deal. Just the flu. Yeah, you know how many people die from the flu? Yeah. If that makes you feel better, you can say that every day. You can sit in the mirror and say it. And yeah, just say that to yourself as you're, you know, going to and from work or whatever, or sitting in your house. It just makes you feel better. Yeah, it's the flu. It's just like the flu. It's something that we just get, and then you get a shot, and it's better. And then when somebody you know dies, then go, I thought it was just the flu. Just like the flu. It was no big deal, right? That's what I thought. I thought that's what it was. Well, what'd you base that off of? Well, I don't know. I just, because I'm a tough guy and I like to think that nothing's a big deal. All right, tough guy. It's going to hit. It's going to happen. And you know what? And one thing that this is not a political rant. I was a little disappointed in somebody. I listen to Rogan quite a bit. And, he's the top podcaster in the world right now. Very wealthy guy from what he does. And I like a lot of the guests he has on, and I like the things he says a lot. And, you know, and of course you don't agree with everybody. And I don't expect to, and I don't think, you know, and I typically agree with the notion that he says a lot of times that you could joke about anything, and I get it. And it's, you know, he's a comedian and he can kind of laugh things off for the most part. And I don't really, I don't disagree with that. I think, you know, what he does as a profession is he does a great job, and he gives a platform for many different types of people, which that's the part of I respect. I respect that a lot because he brings in all walks of life. He doesn't discriminate. He brings in all different angles, and then he really gives them the opportunity to speak. And he really sits there and listens. And then he quite often comes on and says, you know what? I used to think this, but based on the information that I got, like speaking to somebody, I changed my mind. And I love to hear that. I love to hear people are just actively thinking through things. And then they go, I used to preach about this, but man, now just based on the information that I've been given now and really laid it out there. And I painted the picture that what I was thinking doesn't make sense. But the reason I'm disappointed, and like I said, I don't expect him to be perfect or anybody to be perfect, but based on the standards that he stands on, I got so disappointed when he's done two things. The first thing is that he said that the president is funny. Now, I don't think he's funny. I think the things that he's saying are so ridiculous that it's funny. But I don't think he's actively trying to be funny. I just think that he's, you know, I think maybe sometimes he is. So I'm not gonna just be this like one-sided part of it. But the second one is that this guy is it goes back to a kind of a rant that I've had before. And I've had this conversation before, I think, you know, with a few other people. And I know me and my wife have talked about it a little bit. It's the idea of someone's position just basically giving them the authority to be smart, or it's the perception that because they are who they are, because of a title. And, you know, and Rogan even himself, he had a Navy SEAL on, you know, a little while back, which was a very respectful dissertation on what he believed when it came to somebody using someone's background to their advantage and not treating everybody just based on their own merit, you know, on themselves, not based on a title, not based on, you know, saying, well, you were in this particular unit of the military, or you have had this type of job that gives you this type of position. You have to base people on their merit and what they say and what they do. And I'm a big proponent of that. Someone can come up to me all day long and tell me what their title is. I really don't care. And it's not to say that I don't think that what they've accomplished is not important. It's just what I'm getting at is that means nothing to me. It's just a word. It's just words. You're putting words together that tells me something that I don't know. I'll spend time with you. I'll hear what you say. I'll see what your reputation is and how kind of that plays out. And then I base it upon that. And I'm not going to give you any preferential treatment until then. So the reason I see him disappointed is because simply this: Joe Rogan gets on his podcast at one point and he says, well, President Trump's a really smart guy. And I just got really, I did that just kind of, based on the information that comes out, I just don't understand how Joe Rogan, a guy that can sit there and listen to people on a daily basis on his podcast and draw conclusions and change his mind and really formulate all these really good, well thought out opinions. And like I said, and he's going to come out and say that this guy is not as ignorant as we think he is. This guy's a lot smarter than we think he is. That is just disappointing, Joe. And I can't understand. I would pay a lot of money to be able to sit down and just have a conversation with him, Joe, just about it, just to be able to say, you know, and I'm not as articulate as he is. I don't think I'm smarter than he is, or I don't, you know, and Joe always says, I'm just a dumb comedian, but he's a smart guy. And I believe that. Like I said, I'm not slinging mud here, but it was just a level of disappointment for him to base that upon something that he typically doesn't base it upon. And I know he's not being a political puppet here. I know he always says, hey, I lean left. I'm a more of a left guy. I was raised by hippies and all that kind of stuff. But he leaned that way enough for me to go, what? I don't get it. I just don't understand. What's the well thought out, well-rounded Joe Rogan that I've heard in the past that can kind of articulate why he's drawn a conclusion to somebody's, you know, somebody's status or who they are or their reputation. And I just didn't really, it was disappointing. So maybe this has nothing to do with this podcast at all. But like I said, it was based on, you know, the information that's come out recently and that's been coming out for months and months and years from this guy, you know, I don't have a side. All I do is hear something that somebody says, and then I continue to hear the same things that people say, and I formulate an opinion based on somebody's character and how they respond and how they react. And there's been a lot of people and a lot of different facets of life that I give that opportunity to. I give a lot of latitude to people. And this person deserves no latitude anymore. They do not. And it's sad to say that we are going to put our lives in the hands of someone who is a maniacal, egotistical person that cares about numbers. We're numbers, people. We're numbers to someone like that. We don't matter. If 100,000 of us die, it's okay. He did a good job. 100,000 people. So if my mom and my sister and my wife and one of my kids die, well, I should go, wow, that's a good job, because they all didn't die. So good job. That's our standard right now in this country. So as we march forward here, we need to understand something. I don't believe, as this is a mystery podcast, that there's a mystery here. I don't believe that this is something that the gods are imposing upon us. I don't believe that there's some ancient society or there's some pre-written biblical thing that's going on here. I think this is a natural process that repeats itself. They say every 100 years we have a pandemic, typically. And I don't think that it's been written in stone based on the history of some religious cult or organization that this is to be. This is based upon how we respond and what we do in light of what's occurring, what's happening to us. And we can't bury our heads in the sand. We can't ignore what's happened in the past and say that we're bigger than that. Because I am a true believer that civilizations have been on this earth more times than we ever can imagine, more times than we ever have known that, you know, that we don't know about. There's been many, many civilizations that have come and gone that we don't even have in our history books. Because I think that they've reached a similar fate of becoming too important, too big, too great in their minds to want to try to get past it and get beyond it and come together as a society rather than just saying, you know, this is nothing. And I believe that we're better than that. I think we can do more than what we're doing now. You know, we like to pat ourselves on the back and we like to say that, you know, we're doing everything we can. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are working very hard, a lot of people out there sacrificing their lives to bring us to a better place. that we need to respond accordingly. We need to respond to that and, you know, not allow their hard work to be in vain. So in that, I just ask that everybody do what they can to take your time and think. Take your time and listen. Take your time to not follow anything beyond good, solid information. Put all the nonsense aside. Right now, we are in a survival mode. And we have to have a survival mentality. So surviving means leaving the BS for the BSers. And not, you know, not listening to all that. And the best we can do is just stay diligent, do the simple things well, as far as keeping our distance, as far as supporting our healthcare systems, supporting the people, you know, doctors, nurses, people out there, you know, firemen, policemen dealing with this on the front line every single day. You know, these are the epitome of, these people are the epitome of selflessness. Now, I'm not saying everybody that's in that profession is selfless. I'm not saying everybody has their right heart or the right mind and is always that way. That would be ignorant of me. But I have been in the law enforcement profession. I've been around people. I have a family member that's, you know, been in the medical profession. I believe that, you know, there's a lot of people that are in that profession for the right reasons. And right now they're struggling. Right now they're suffering. They're frustrated. And I know they feel like they're being deserted at some points in time where they feel like we have failed them. We have failed to give them the tools necessary to do their job. And we have to be able to give up things that we have to give up some comfort in our life in order for them to save people. To me, I feel like that's the bottom line. And I will give up all the comfort in the world to save lives. We just need to be that way. We need to have that. We need to think about it that way. Things are going to inconvenience us. If somebody told me, Joe, you have to be locked in your house and you have to eat a bowl of rice every day for the next month, and you can't go out, you can't do anything, you can't watch TV, you can't whatever. And I know that's an extreme view. If you can't do all that, but if you do that, it's going to save thousands of people. I would say, bring it on, whatever I got to do. Saving thousands of people's lives is kind of the situation we're all in. You know, we can effectively change this quickly. And we just can't be ignorant, and we can't be looking forward to doing all the things we want to do because we want to do them and what we want is the most important thing. No, it's protecting the people around us should be the most important thing. Friends, family, people we love, and people we don't even know. We have a responsibility, I believe, to do that. And, you know, we're being called to do it by the right people. And we're being suppressed by the dumb people or the people in society right now that have an agenda that really has nothing to do with saving lives, has very much to do with their own personal benefit. And like I said, we're better than that. We know we can get through this. And I apologize. This doesn't come from a negative place. This does come from a political place. This doesn't come from an agenda. Nobody's, you know, the audience that I've drawn here, and, you know, and I truly appreciate coming on a regular basis and listening to my podcast. I don't follow this dialogue. I don't typically do this, but I feel pressed to speak my mind and to say the things that I know are important. And the things that are important to me are taking care of my neighbor. My taking care of other people has been the life of my wife and I. Service is everything to us. And I don't expect everybody to be servants, but at the very least, you could sacrifice something of yours so another person can survive. So don't be selfish. Give up what you got to give up. Do what you got to do, and let's get through this together. So if you have any comments and or concerns, you know, just give me a holler. Jump on my Instagram. I know I haven't been on there in a little bit, but really it's not about that. It's not about people firing back. It's just about getting people to think a little bit. So I appreciate you all listening to my rant. I don't know if this episode of Incoherent Babble and, you know, me kind of just airing my thoughts and concerns, but ultimately I think it comes from the right place. You know, I want us to do the right thing here, and I'm not necessarily the authority on what the right thing is, because we all have no idea of where this is going to lead. But the biggest thing is that, you know, take care of everybody, take everybody out there, you know, be willing to serve, be willing to do what you can. So, all right, guys. So next episode of Mystery Magnet, hopefully it'll be next week. We'll try to get back to the regular format, and we'll see what happens. So you guys all stay inside, take care of yourself, take care of your loved ones, and you guys all be good to each other. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Later.